Good morning. I don't know if you remember or not, but it hasn't been too long ago, and I gave a talk about prayer, and it really made me nervous about whether I wanted to give this talk. I didn't want to trample over what I said the last time, but I listened to the talk again on the website, and I'm not going to, but even though I tried to think of something else to talk about, this just kept coming up. It's been bothering me a lot. My thoughts this morning stem from a show that I caught a piece of at work, and it's really bothered me and irritated me for a couple weeks now since, and I felt that I needed to talk about it. I don't know the situation that led to the characters on this show to this point in the show, but a grown woman was praying at her bed silently, and her mom walked in and asked her what she was doing, and she said that she was praying, and her mom then apparently had a rough time as well, so she took the other end of the bed and started kneeling in a praying position at the bed, and they both prayed silently. Then their silence was interrupted when the mom stopped and said, "You getting anything?" The daughter scooched away from her. And then the mom said, "Maybe we should try Satan." And then the daughter got up and grabbed her mom and moved her to the other side of the bed and then went back to where she was at and said, "I'm not with her." I don't find it humorous, but to a world that continues to mock religion and the notion of God, I'm sure it's hilarious. And I'm sure they would hear me up here saying this and say, "Oh boy, another person being offended. Come on, people. People need to stop being offended." Well, people need to start being offended at what God's offended by. To me, it's bothersome that anymore people think this is okay, or even the notion that God would answer a person's prayer that had that attitude about prayer, that expected some miraculous sign or some miraculous response from somebody that otherwise didn't pay attention to God. I also recently saw a post, I think on Facebook or something, where somebody said they would pray for a person, and then in the following comments, somebody else mockingly said, "What good's a prayer going to do?" And another one mockingly chimed in agreement. I didn't know the people, and I choose to stay out of these Facebook posts anymore. It's a worthless debate to get into with somebody that doesn't believe in God. But those who are faithful know that a faithful prayer of a righteous man avails much, as we find in James 5:16. What is it God wants from us when we pray? God wants us to always show love and appreciation, even when we think things are not going well, or when we think things are going well, not just to plead for things that we want or to go to Him when we are emotionally distressed by sickness or trouble. God wants a two-way line with us, the kind of line where we use it to tell Him what we think of His greatness as well as our help from our troubles. He isn't a genie in a lamp that we rub when we get in a rough time. How would it feel if we had a child that only communicated with us when they absolutely need something? Would you be less inclined to answer? Sometimes I want to feel that my children love and appreciate me. How frustrated can I become if I can't have a line between me and them in those times? A parent always wants to be able to have access to a line of communication with their children. God has many children that don't have a line of communication with Him. I have two grown children now. One chooses not to communicate. The one that does makes me thrilled every single time and every opportunity. It makes me feel like I'm on cloud nine. When I get a text just out of nowhere, or get a call out of nowhere. The other, I still pray that their heart will change someday so that they may open to it again. Just as God wants us to be open with Him, if we fall away, He wants us to come to that conclusion as well someday. 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which have been asked of Him. Our motives is what we should always question. As God knows our hearts, and He knows what our hearts are, sometimes we deceive ourselves into thinking that our motives are pure, when if we were to really analyze them and be truthful with ourselves, they're not. I will do this if you answer my prayer, as I have heard some say. I will go back to church if you answer my prayer, for example. Imagine your child saying, "I will do that chore if you buy me this toy." Your child has no position to barter with us or you. Neither do we have a position to barter with God in a case like that. Hebrews 10, verses 22 through 23, it says, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." In Mark 11, 22 through 24, it says, Jesus is talking to the apostles after cursing the fig tree. Remember, it wouldn't produce fruit, and He told it to die. And they came upon it the next day, and they found out it was dead, and they marveled. And Jesus answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore I say unto you, all things for which you pray and ask and believe, that you have received them, and they will be granted to you." It is never God that we need to doubt. Our motives need to be of a pure heart and full belief that our God is wonderful and faithful. If we look at James 1, verses 5 through 8, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and let it be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Also, Another thought on prayer comes from the same book in James 5, 13 through 18. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced fruit. Many of us pray when we have an affliction. We need to remind ourselves to pray to God of joy and of His greatness as well. I think a great example of that is in Psalms 103, verses 1 through 18. And when you, if you read along with me, it's almost hard not to sing some of the words of this, as it's a song that we sing as well. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Who pardons your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion? Who satisfies your years with good things, so that your mouth is renewed, your youth is renewed like the eagle? The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses. He acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us, just as Father has compassion on His children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more. And its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those whom fear Him. And His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and who remember His precepts to do them. This would be a beautiful prayer to God to hear of His greatness from us. We want to hear our children tell us that they love us and that they appreciate the things that we've done for them. God wants to hear it too. He doesn't just want to hear us asking for things. Also, another thing is best when praying to separate yourselves from distractions of the outside world. Sometimes it's not always possible, but it's a situation where we need to pray at that moment, and despite the distractions, we need to go ahead and do that. So we pray anyway. Why separate from distraction? What's the big deal? Most people would be annoyed if you are talking to them, but it is clear you look like you have something else distracting you and that you're not really focused on talking to them. God doesn't like it either. Remember when Peter was walking on the water to Christ and Peter became distracted by the storm that was raging around him. And while he was walking on the water, he began to sink when he took his eyes off Christ. He lost his focus, and we can too. God wants all of us focused on Him. How can we expect an answer from Him when He can see that we're not paying attention to what we're asking Him and our minds distracted upon other things? We need to trust Him fully, that He is just and that He will listen to us, and that we can't do anything without Him. We need Him, and He is all we need. We are a rich nation with many things. Many of us have no idea what it's like to truly struggle. We have to humble ourselves in His presence, trusting fully on Him. David and Daniel have good representation of separating themselves for prayer, as did Christ. They wanted a full closeness to their God and Father. Sincere prayer comes from the heart and praises God. Another psalm that discloses this is 119 verses 164 through 176. Seven times a day I praise Thee because of Thy righteous ordinances. Those who love the law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. I hope for Thy salvation, O Lord, and do Thy commandments. My soul keeps Thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep Thy precepts and Thy testimonies, for all Thy ways are before Thee. Let my cry come before Thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to Thy word. Let my supplication come before Thee. Deliver me according to Thy word. Let my lips utter praise, for Thou dost teach me Thy statutes. Let my tongue sing Thy word, for all Thy commandments are righteousness. And let Thy hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen Thy precepts. I long for Thy salvation, O Lord, and Thy law is my delight. Let my soul live that it may praise Thee, and let Thy ordinances help me. I have gone astray like the lost sheep. Seek Thy servant, for I do not forget Thy commandments. Can we say that to God when we pray to Him, that we keep His commandments? That we're trying. Please forgive me. David's praise to God is a wonderful thing. Can we pour our heart out to Him? We can. Many of the psalms that we have come from David's conversations with God. David was a man after God's own heart for a reason. Because of this. Because he had an open line of conversations with his God. Also, Daniel 9 gives us a look into Daniel's conversations with God. Verses 4 through 19. And I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant and loving kindness for those who love Him and keep His commandments. We have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly and rebelled, even turning aside from the commandments and ordinances. Moreover, we have not listened to thy servants, Thy prophets, who spoke in Thy name to our kings and our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. Righteousness belongs to Thee, O Lord, but to us open shame, as it is this day to the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all of Israel, those who are nearby and those who are far away, and all the countries of which thou hast driven them, because of their unfaithful deeds which they have committed against thee. Open shame belongs to us, O Lord, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong compassion and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him, nor have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his teachings which he has set before us through his servants and prophets. Indeed, all Israel has transgressed. Thy law is turned aside, not obeying thy voice, so that the curse is poured out on us along with all the oath which is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, for we have sinned against him. Thus he has confirmed his words which were spoken against us and against our rulers which ruled us, to bring on us great calamity. For under the whole heaven there has not been done anything like there was to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come on us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from the iniquity of giving attention to thy truth. Therefore the Lord has kept the calamity in store and brought it on us. For the Lord our God is righteous with respect to his deeds which he has done, but we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who has brought thy people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has made a name for thyself, as it is this day that we have sinned, we have been wicked. O Lord, in accordance with all thy righteous acts, let now thine anger and thy wrath turn away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, for because of our sins and the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people have become a reproach to all those around us. So now, our God, listen to the prayer of thy servant and the supplications, and for thy sake, O Lord, let thy face shine upon thy desolate sanctuary. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thy eyes and see the desolations of the city which is called by thy name. For we are not presenting our supplications before thee on account of any merits of our own, but on account of thy great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action. For thine own sake, O my God, do not delay, because thy city and thy people are called by thy name. We need to pray for forgiveness when we know we are doing wrong, like Daniel did with the compassion that he did. What compassion a man had that was known for his prayer and was thrown into a den of lions for his prayer. Could we expect anything less, or can we expect more from ourselves by reading this and contemplating what it says? In Luke 5, verses 15 through 16, it says, "But the news about him was spreading further, and great multitudes were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But he himself would often slip away into the wilderness and pray." And this is Christ. God and Christ, though Christ was here on earth, maintained a close relationship through prayer, as we should with God as well. God wants that from us. He wants a sincere and contrite, repentant heart. Christ told us he wants a pure heart and not to let sin reign within our bodies. If we continue in sin, how can we embrace God at the same time when we embrace going back to sin when we leave this place? In order to have a close relationship with God, we need to go out with a clear conscience so we can serve Him better. So we can pray to Him with a clear conscience. We need to pray for forgiveness. Put away the cares and distractions and sin from our own lives and trust that He is true and just to forgive us if we let Him live within us. He knows our hearts. What does He know about you? If you've fallen short in your walk with God, or you need the church to help you, please come forward as we stand and sing.